Amen and amen. All right. Well, we are going to kind of get into some things here today. We're going to talk about Roe v. Wade and what happened when the Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade. And I think that you'll be surprised. It's not everything that you think it is, but there is room to rejoice. There always is room to rejoice if some baby is saved. If one state does something right, right? If somebody does something right. However, I'm going to show you the incompleteness as well of the Supreme Court and how they did not do what they should have done. And we'll talk about that. I'll explain that. And the reason why, the reason why it's important to be consistent about this. I praise the Lord that something did happen, that they did do something right as far as federally say that they don't have the right, there's no federal right to an abortion. Praise the Lord. I agree. What I don't agree with is the decision that they made afterwards, or part of their decision in there, which is totally inconsistent and unbiblical, and it needs to be addressed, and God's people need to understand what happened and not be the devil's in the details. So not to be deceived by that, because that's exactly the truth. The devil is in the details, and it's important that we understand that there's a little more going on there than what is being led on. So I want to make it clear for you today exactly how things set with that. And we'll get to that in a little while here, but let me just blanketly say, praise the Lord, that federally speaking, they made that decision. I do praise the Lord for that. I do. I praise the Lord that the federal courts will not stop the state of Texas and the state of Missouri from 100% banning abortion. Praise the Lord. They won't. The federal government juggernaut is not going to come through and try to stop that. So anyway, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. I want to remind you of what's going on tomorrow for us and for your prayers. Okay? Because I think this decision today is going to really heat some things up. Twin Cities Pride right here. All right, where all the nuts are going to be out, all the lost people are going to be out, all the wicked, lying sodomites are going to be out. So anyway, but I want you to remember that it's going to get nasty for us out there tomorrow. You need to pray for us. You need to make sure you pray for us, that the Lord keeps us safe through this, because it'll be nasty. And it'll be even more nasty now that they're being denied what they think is their fundamental right to murder babies. Okay? So you need to remember to us in prayer, because we're going to need it. And, you know, I'm going to give you both sides of the argument here. I'm going to give you the argument. But anyway, you pray for us. We'll be out there. We're going to broadcast live out there. So you pray for us. Now, there's like a number of sides here with this. There are those that are staunch Republicans that are extremely happy with this Roe v. Wade decision. I'm happy that they made a decision like this that is more for life. I'm happy about that. Have I bought the Kool-Aid? No, because there's the devil's in the details, like I said. But I'm happy that I'm praising the Lord that there's states out there like Missouri, states like Texas and other states that are going to ban that already have in place now, if that decision came in, a ban on abortion. So all of those places are going to be shut down in those states. Praise God. That's a blessing. That's something to rejoice in, and I don't deny that. But I'm going to tell you the truth about the whole thing. But let's just look at the different people out there. Unfortunately, you have some in the Southern Baptist Convention, right? Like this, or liberal pastors. He's not in the Southern Baptist Convention, I don't believe. But you have this liberal pastor, pro-choice pastor, vows to continue to fight for abortion rights. I'm outraged by the Supreme Court's decision. As a pro-choice pastor, I'll never back down from this fight. Women must be able to make their own health care decisions. Virgil Walker says this. He's not a pastor. That man's a wicked feminist who needs to repent of his sin and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good for that preacher. Good for that preacher to tell that guy the truth. Right? Praise the Lord. He told them the truth. Right? Praise the Lord. Let's see. There was another. Yeah, how about these guys? How about these people all silent like Beth Moore, the witch, Beth Moore. Today marks a historic day, says one in America, says the dissenter. Today marks a historic day in America as one of the longest running blights on the face of the nation has finally been removed. Federally, that is. It hasn't been removed. Right? So, Roe v. Wade was the flawed Supreme Court decision that has stood for over 50 years that guaranteed a woman the constitutional right to kill her own unborn child if she didn't want to carry him through a birth. That ruling has resulted in the deaths of millions upon millions of innocent unborn children in this nation alone, and while the ruling to overturn the decision today does not and will not end abortion, it is certain and necessary a step in the direction that the federal courts can no longer strike down state laws on abortion. As this blight on America has finally been lifted, one would think this is to be cause for celebration among the church's most vocal activists against abuse, like Beth Moore, Russell Moore, and all these other people. But that's not the case. The voices are silent. Right? Well, what happened? They're more they talk about being more worried about the mother, the woman and her reproductive rights and all these other things. Never mind the baby that's being slaughtered. Of course not. The era of Roe has ended. Now we redouble and expand our efforts to address the underlying factors that make abortion appear the only alternative for so many women. Let's give our money, time, and prayers to that end, to render abortion unthinkable because support is so abundant. Look, for a Christian, abortion is never an option. Right? It never should be an option. Abortion never should be an option for God's people, ever. Right? However, there's a hole in the decision, and we'll talk about that. Right? There's a hole in that decision, federally speaking. Now, before I get to that, and I'll share that all with you, before I get to that, let's talk about the bigger picture. Now, I want you to put on your Carl Winters spooky hat with me for a moment, okay? The Carl Winters finally got a haircut, spooky hat with me. Okay? The conspiracy hat. Okay? This is the conspiracy hat. Just remember, Carl, I was conspiracy before conspiracy was cool. I mean, well, compared to you anyway, I was. There were others before me, of course. But I just want to make sure that Carl remembers that. All right? But me and Carl, we know what's up. We know that there's always a game afoot. There's always something going on. So let's speak conspiracy hypotheticals. Man, I wish I had like a really spooky song to play for you right now. Like, woo, or something, you know, really spooky. I'll have to get something. Right? Let me tell you what my idea is. And then I'll get to the Roe v. Wade and, you know, the decision and the flawed decision and those things. We'll talk about that. I sincerely am going to talk about that, among other things. But let's look at the bigger picture. No, I don't think it has anything to do with the economy. Not really. Let's look at it this way. Let's say that all the states that are against abortion and all the people that are for abortion separate themselves into different states. Won't it be easy to round up most of those people or to slaughter most of those people or to identify most of those people when it's time to? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because what it seems like is going on here, you're having people migrate to Texas, migrate to Florida, migrate to Missouri, migrate to these other areas. And everybody's pretty much abandoning or beginning to abandon a lot of those other areas. Now, not to mention they're filling up those other areas with people. But think about it. Those people are going to be mighty easy to identify, aren't they? And when you have all of those people, when you have all of those people together, boy, you could sure cause, you sure know where all your enemies are, don't you? Right? And you know, the other side of it is they just passed a gun control law right under everybody's nose the same day that they drop Roe v. Wade. Okay? Now, that's the first set of conspiracies. Okay? Here's the second. Are you ready? Here's the second set. Think about this. What did they have to do? Trump's been out there blasting that all the elections were fake, all the elections were rigged, all the elections are not real. Democrats don't really want to vote that bad right now. The economy's in shambles. They got to gin up a lot of people. What's going to get the left? What's going to get people into the right-left paradigm? What's going to push them back into the right-left paradigm? What's going to do that? Oh, I don't know. Ban abortion. Ban Roe v. Wade federally. Oh, that'll get all the liberals to come out to the polls. Because they're going to be angry. The Republicans are already mad, but it pushes everybody into the right-left paradigm and gets them going, yeah, we're going to vote and we're going to make a difference. Which, by the way, I have another theory, but anyway, that they're going to vote. They're going to get everybody excited and get people shoved into that right-left paradigm. No one's excited about Biden. No one. Everybody's mad about the economy. They infringed on part of the rights of gun owners. So now they're going to push that we got to do more. We got to get the House back because then they won't, then the Senate won't be able to pass the things that they need to pass. Right? So think about that, right? So they get the left all ginned up. They threw a bone to the left with this gun control bill. Then they threw a bone the same day to the right with Roe v. Wade. So they got both sides of the country warring with each other. Absolutely at odds. They are absolutely warring with each other. People are angry. Both sides. I mean, I was just in the store the other day, and this guy's walking around, this old Trumpster, he's walking around talking about, and he's angry, and he's got some good points. I agree with a lot of what he said. But he's like, but I didn't agree with this part that he said. But he's like, you know why they wanna take our guns away? Because they know we're gonna start using them. So he's angry, this man is. He's ginned up and he is angry. Angry. The liberals out there, angry. Right? And I'm sitting back and just making it known that I'm not on either one of your teams. Like, I'm not taking the bait from either one of those sides. And you better be awful careful that you don't take the bait. Because they are definitely, definitely stoking the flames. I told people a while back that I think they're going to pass this just to make people angry. That's why they're going to do it. They just want to make them angry. That's what they're doing. They're getting people mad. They're getting people angry at each other. They're getting people fighting with each other. Getting people to hate each other. Biden falls off a bike and people want to just make fun of him and mock him and laugh at him. Right? They just want to make fun of him and laugh at him as if that's Christian, if we're supposed to laugh at the calamity of others like that. Right? That's what the goal is, though, is to get everybody so divided from each other that we no longer see each other as people, as men made in God's image, albeit fallen creatures. And what are they doing? Whatever they want. Right? Oh, good, Jesse. Now I know who you are. They're doing whatever they want to do. Because they got us looking at dehumanizing each other. They got us dehumanizing each other and looking at each other like we're absolute enemies. When the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God's people need to wise up. Now, I am 100% glad that federally they shot down Roe versus Wade. But I also believe this is for the orange man rising. I believe this is about the orange man staying relevant. Mm-hmm. This is about the orange man rising, the phoenix man rising, the Donald rising. Donald's stock just went up with conservatives, and it just went, I'm telling you, now I'm going to say this. Donald Trump could be a sodomite right now. Donald Trump could be a sodomite right now, and those evangelicals are going to vote for him. I'm telling you. By the way, some people are talking like Donald Trump is going to put a vice president, if he runs, as a sodomite. He's going to run a sodomite vice president. Right? So, I think if he ran a sodomite as a vice president, I personally believe that evangelicals would vote for him. I believe the religious right would vote for him. You won't convince me otherwise. I don't think he'll lose a vote. Because you know what they're shifty enough to do? They'll run a sodomite vice president on the other side. They'll be like, look, see? You got nobody to choose. Why wouldn't you choose us? Come on already. You would choose us. That's what you would do. Stay tuned. We'll see. A lot can happen from now until then. He could drop dead, of course. Any one of us could. Right? Any one of us could. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying it could happen to any one of us. Right? Our times are in the Lord's hands. But either way, right? Either way, we see the wickedness of it, right? Either way, we see the wickedness of what's going on. There's more to it. There's absolutely more to it than what we see. Way more to it than what we see. The bigger picture, there's something going on. They don't throw those kind of bones like that for no reason at all. If you think that all happened organically, you've been drinking too much of the water. Too much tap water in the city. Because this was timed on purpose. You don't have those two gun rights, abortion. You don't have those two things like that drop that way. You just don't. You just don't. There's more to it. Right? There is more to it than that. And we will see it for sure. as time comes, we are going to see what's going on with it, right? But, and Biden, by the way, Biden did say another pandemic is coming. Oh, we know it is. We know it is. Right? We know it is. So anyway, so that's the, so it's about the orange one rising again, right? That's part of it too. They have to keep Trump very relevant. They have to keep him very relevant. Trump says, he praises a Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade, saying ruling will work out for everybody. Listen to what he says here, because we're really going to get to the bottom of it here. Let's see. Let me
make sure this say I'm in anything. To summer riches.
Oh, it is. Sorry.
The case regarding Roe versus Wade is now in. Mm-hmm. All right.
Uh-huh. There we go. When asked if he had a message for any of his supporters who may be pro-choice, Trump told Fox, I think in the end, this is something that'll work out for everybody. This brings everything back to the states where it has always belonged. When asked whether he feels he played a role in the reversal of Roe v. Wade after having appointed three conservative justices to the high court, the former president told Fox News, God made the decision. Now, whether Trump is calling himself God, I don't know. I don't know. I do not know. Right? I don't know. Maybe he is. I have no idea. But what I but what I will say is this. He's slick. He is slick. Right? In the end, the opinion where we begin abortion presents a profound moral question. The Constitution does not prohibit the citizens of each state from regulating or prohibiting abortion. So we're going to get to the bottom of this, exactly what it was. But this is about Trump. That's what a lot of this is about. It's about him staying relevant. It's about Trump staying relevant. Definitely is. Definitely is. Right? So, I think, by the way, let me say this. I praise the Lord that federally Roe v. Wade got knocked down. I do praise God for that, because if no one can get an abortion in Missouri, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If nobody can get an abortion in Texas, praise the Lord. If nobody can get an abortion anywhere else, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm happy about that. I'm very happy about that. And I will praise the Lord for that, and you should too. Right? I'm not a fool. I'm going to thank God for it. So, rejoice in the Lord for that, for sure. Thank God for that. Now, you have a lot of people that misunderstand maybe what's really going on with this ruling and kind of how things took place and all that kind of stuff. So, it's important to understand. What the decision about Roe v. Wade did and what it didn't do, that's very important, because I think a lot of people, I saw people posting, oh, look, abortion is over. No, it's not. You know, abortion in America is over. No, it's not. That's not what the ruling said. Right? So we'll get to that, and we'll show you that in a second here. Um, we know what the scriptures teach about being conceived, right? We know what the Bible teaches about that life begins at conception, right? That David was a person when he was a baby in the mother's womb. That let's see. And I said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is lamenting. He says, because it shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow in mine eyes. And I said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, right? So Job is telling that. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor with him. So the Bible talks about the mother's womb, right? Look at this one. Luke chapter 1, verse number 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Okay, stop. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Only a person is filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Right? Because he's a person. Paul said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. God in the Bible recognizes a person is in the womb. Right? A person is in the womb. This is what God recognizes from the scriptures. And that's life. And that's a person. That is what the angel is telling Mary, or telling John the Baptist's mother. Filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's not just some clump of cells. And by the way, let me see if I can find this. I'll give you a sneak preview here, if I can find that. Let's see. I'm so excited that Carl got a haircut. I don't know what to do. I'm just completely, so absolutely enthralled by Carl getting a haircut. I thought it was revival. I really did. Thought it was revival. I was getting ready to. Here it is, right here. This is what I want to show you. This is a preview of Sunday's two PowerPoints that I'll be doing, The Spirit of Sodom and the LGBTQ. Now, why am I bringing that up right now? Well, anyway, I think it's funny that Matt Walsh, what he said, and I know Matt Walsh is a Catholic, and I get it. I know they're Jesuit trained. I get the whole thing, okay? I'm not foolish. But here's the thing. I think it's funny what Matt Walsh said. Matt Walsh said, when he saw the ruling of Roe v. Wade, he said, what a great way to end Pride Month. Man, that was funny. I'm sorry, but that made me laugh. That was funny. Isn't that funny? It is a great way to end. Anyway, I'm going to bring you two PowerPoints, Lord willing, on Sunday. You can watch them live on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. The morning one will be at 10:45 a.m. But anyway, this is called The Spirit of Sodom and the LGBTQ. And we'll be talking about this. And I'm going to show you what the true spirit is. Why do I bring that up? Because one of the things about them, they hate children. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Do they hate children? Absolutely, fruitin' lootly. They hate children. They can't help it. They absolutely hate children. They just do. They hate them with a passion. So, anyway, we're going to talk about that. That's why I brought that up, though, because they're going to be rabid about this decision. But the Bible says that it's not, because when I was standing outside of Planned Parenthood a few months ago, and I was preaching outside of Planned Parenthood on what most people call Good Friday, right? What most people call Good Friday, we were standing outside of there, and two trannies literally, I thought they were going to like turn into dragons and eat me, or turn into dinosaurs like T-Rexes and eat me. They really did look like they were going to devour me. My son was there, and this tranny that took hormones, that had a fake beard. Well, no, it was actually a real beard, but it was... somebody asked me, if they hate them, how can they raise children? Tune in Sunday at 10:45 a.m. for The Spirit of Sodom and the LGBTQ, and I'll explain that all to you then. Anyway. They were like screaming at my son. Man, were they angry. Boy, were they mad. They were just screaming at him. My son was like looking at him, and he was kind of like chuckling. He's like, what's wrong with these fruits anyway? But they were angry. They hate children. And this one sodomite came bouncing along, and he said he wanted to eat the babies, and he didn't care about the babies, and he don't like kids because he didn't want to pay for kids. He didn't want kids because he didn't want to pay for kids. Right? Said he hated them. Right? That's what he said. Well, that didn't make me any friends. But you can see where the spirit is. But the Bible says that that is a person in the womb, because John the Baptist was a person in the womb. Had a personality. Right? He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So he was going to be a reformer. He was going to turn people's hearts to the Lord. This was going to be his personality, his nature, and the power of the Holy Ghost in him. Right? So, we understand what the Bible says about that. we don't really care what the Supreme Court says, to be honest with you about that. I mean, we do in the sense that they're wrong and they should be right about it, and they're wrong about it. So I want to show you where they got it right and where they got it wrong. So where they got it right was that the United States federal government has no right to legislate abortion onto the states and force them to accept abortions. Or there is no federal right in the Constitution. There is no federal right in the Bill of Rights. There is no federal right in the Bill of Rights, which is recognized as God-given rights. There's no God-given right to murder. There's no God-given right to put to death a life, an innocent life, to shed innocent blood, as the Bible calls it. There is no right to do that. There are some good things about the decision, yes. There are. And those are that, federally speaking, it shouldn't be protected. And praise the Lord that... praise the Lord that... that they're not able to tell Texas or tell any other state that they have to allow women to kill their babies. That's good. Because they shouldn't be allowed to do that. The federal government doesn't have authority to kill like that innocent life. But the dissenter says this, and I agree with their sentiments. I don't want to dump water all over the flames of celebration right now in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, but allow me to dump some water on the flames of celebration. This decision might look like a great decision on the surface, but there is something detrimental in that ruling that could have a long-lasting effect. In the Supreme Court's ruling, it was determined that unborn life does not have the same value as born life. See that? That unborn life does not have the same value as born life. Somebody asked me a question. What's your view on execution of murderers? I believe that the Bible instituted, that God Almighty instituted the death penalty for murder in Genesis chapter 9. And that was never rescinded. It never changed. It was before the Mosaic law. And it was a punishment on murderers. On cold-blooded murder. Now, there are people that do not agree with that. There are Anabaptists and Mennonites and other groups that don't believe that. There are non-resistant people that don't believe that. I get it. I just don't get any... I don't see any biblical precedent for it. The biblical precedent that I see is that they wield not the sword in vain. That there is a proper role of civil government to put to death murderers, cold-blooded murderers, with two or three witnesses. Now, again, there are people that will disagree with me, say that's not consistent. Oh, yes, it is, because it's God's law. It's consistent with the Bible, who God is. God talked about the responsibility of those that shed innocent blood. And you may not agree with me. And that's okay. But I have a hard time arguing with what I see in the scriptures when it comes to that. I am not a complete pacifist, non-resistance person when it comes to things like that. I'm not. So, anyway. It's a very sad thing. So, but anyway, I don't think it should be done flippantly. I think the Bible talks about there must be witnesses to that crime, that if you can't prove that, then you can't put somebody to death if there's not witnesses to that. If it's not, I do believe that. So, anyway. There are people that agree differently about that, but I do believe, and I have friends that believe differently about that, and that's okay. I understand. But I believe I can be consistent with it, and I can show scripturally where it is. But I have no desire to sit and argue with people about it, to be honest with you. I'm not gonna. I don't think it's necessary, too, in that sense. In the Supreme Court's ruling, it was determined that unborn life does not have the same value as born life and therefore cannot be constitutionally protected. In other words, the Supreme Court does not guarantee a right to life. This court, therefore, does not possess the authority either to declare a constitutional right to abortion or to declare a constitutional prohibition of abortion, the ruling reads. This court does not possess the authority either to declare a constitutional right to abortion or to declare a constitutional prohibition of abortion. In sum, the Constitution is neutral on the issue of abortion and allows the people and their elected representatives to address the issue through the democratic process. In my respectful view, the court in Roe therefore erred by taking sides on the issue of abortion. The dissenter says, sadly, this may have a devastating effect on the continued fight to the protection of unborn children in the nation, as the court has essentially refused personhood to unborn children. While this does not hinder the states from constitutionally protecting the lives of unborn children, the Supreme Court has abdicated its responsibility to protect the unborn and recused itself from any future rulings on the protection of innocent life. Hopefully more states will do what is right, but leftist states are now free to enact extreme pro-abortion laws without any recourse from the federal government. So, in other words, basically, those states that want to shed innocent blood, they are going to whoop it up. And they are going to shed some innocent blood. Others that don't want to, I don't see how federally Planned Parenthood can be funded now at all, or any of the other abortion, how federal funds can go to any of those, because it's been deemed unconstitutional to federally mandate abortion. Well, 40 million, 50 million babies later, it's about time, right?
Let's see. Let's look up this number. This is from Worldometer. Abortions worldwide this year, 20 million,
435,764. According to the WHO, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. 125,000 abortions in the world a day. Think about that. A day. Now, that's in the world. But so far this year, and as we speak, they continue to go up. I'll just leave that there for a second. Right? That's the number of abortions worldwide. Right there. Those are babies being murdered right as we speak. Those are the numbers going up. You have the United States federal government also saying that, well, we don't know if they're, we don't, they don't, their value of life is not, they don't have the same value as born people do of life. So they, their take on it is that, their take on it is that they never should have got into the mix of it in the first place. Right? Which is true. They never should have. Actually, they should have outlawed it, period. Because it's murder, and murder's already illegal. It's already a crime to kill. It's already a crime to kill. Murder is already a crime. To shed innocent blood is already a crime. Right? So why would there even need to be a law like that when we already know that it's already a crime to kill in cold blood, to take life? We already know that. Except only in government do they need to try to figure that out. Do they need to try to decide that? Man, I'm going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to try to decide that whether or not. Right? Right? They deserve life or not. Really, the biggest issue is the heart of the issue. And what is that? The heart of the issue is the woman. What kind of a woman wants to go kill her baby? Well, I'll show you what kind. One without natural affection. Right? For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It is against nature. It is not normal. It is not natural. To kill your baby. It is not natural to do that. It is against nature. They change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's not natural. The Bible says there's something really wrong with that person. Besides a depraved heart. They're without natural affection. They're without natural affection, these women are. The real issue is reaching the heart of these people. Only Jesus can change somebody. Now, we have a responsibility. There's a responsibility upon society. A government has a responsibility to protect life, liberty, and property. There is that responsibility. That's absolutely in the scriptures. But what we have today is the protection of criminals or the protection of those that do harm to others. And woe to them that call evil good and good evil. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. I agree, Rolling H. I agree. See, that's the flaw in the ruling. That's why do you think somebody like Trump can say what he said? Oh, I think it works out great for everyone. I think it works out great for everyone. If you want to kill a baby, works out good for you. If you don't want to kill a baby, works out good for you. Hey, everybody's happy. And then he goes ahead and blames God for it. Which God are you serving, bud? You ain't serving the God in heaven. You're talking about the God of this world. Because why in the world would you say that unborn child has no constitutionally protected right? In other words, basically, you're saying the baby does not have a right to exist after conception has taken place, after life is there. All it is evolution. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of evolution. That's what it is. Abortion comes from evolution. It is the evil fruit. You want to look at something? I'll show you something here. This is a series I did called The Menace of Feminism. Right? The evil fruit of feminism, eugenics, abortion, fornication, and manly women. There's a video on this, and it looks like we haven't uploaded those videos. So if Luke's listening sometime, Luke, we need to take these videos on The Menace of Feminism. None of those videos are on there, and we need to re-upload these with videos. The evil fruit of feminism. Eugenics, abortion, fornication. There you go. Let's see. There's another one here somewhere. Whoops, I spelled it wrong. Let's see. That was 2020. Darwin's Perfect Soldier, Adolf Hitler, Evolution in the Occult, Darwin's Demonic Disciples, Haeckel. There was another one that I did on Darwin. I think it's this one. Let's see. Let's look under here. Wow, none of these have videos either. We need to get those videos up there. Let's see. Anyway, I thought, so we'll get these videos up here on here, but all of these series is the Satanic Roots of Evolution. You ought to listen to these. Then you ought to listen to The Menace of Feminism. And then you'll understand that abortion and the rise of it. And let's go to Sanger. Let's see. It might be in that series. Oops. Let's see. Let's go here. Hey, we're having fun. Here we go. Margaret Sanger. Planned Parenthood, the witch's war against God. She was a eugenicist. Everything that she taught was Darwinian evolution. Haeckel produced Hitler. Darwin produced Haeckel. Margaret Sanger came back. Margaret Sanger came through that. So here it is. These people everything that they did and they stood for all came from it all came from abortion. It all came from evolution. Evolution is the gospel of the beast. Evolution teaches survival of the fittest. Abortion is survival of the fittest. That's all that it is. Okay? Let's see. Ooh, I forgot about that one. Ooh, these are good. The War for Origins. I did those a few years ago. I need to get those videos on Sermon Audio. These are going to be the ones I'm going to have Luke work on first to get a bunch of these on here. Darwin's Gestapo, Thomas Huxley, Evolution, and the Illuminati Royal Society. Fun stuff. Not really. But here's how you got abortion to be legalized in America. Follow the trail of Darwinian evolution, and you have to be for abortion. Have to. Survival of the fittest. This baby inconveniences my life. Well, I'm the fittest, so you're gone, baby. You're gone. Right? See, that doesn't make people very happy when we talk like that, when we tell the truth about things like that. But it's real, friend. It's real. This is what Darwinian evolution teaches. This is what abortion teaches. It teaches the same thing. These are the lines. Margaret Sanger was a feminist. Margaret Sanger hated God. Margaret Sanger hated. Here's another series on the feminist movement. These are from way back in 2011. But then I retitled these and did them over again because the audio on those are horrible. So, I put these under the menace of feminism. Hey, here's Feminizing Manhood. Those are all, look at these titles. Skinny Jeans and the Feminine Man, Antichrist Agenda of Merging the Sexes, Androgynous Attack on Manhood, the Unisex Movement. Yep, here we go. The Menace of Feminism. These right here really, really made me a lot of friends and caused me to influence a lot of people. They really did. I mean, let me tell you. Hey, there's our meter. See it continue to go up? Yep. So when you look at that, when you look at who these women are, feminism is the evolution. Feminism is the fruit of evolution. Marxism and everything else. And when you see that feminizing manhood, I talked about that in a series. And by the way, I have a whole lot of PowerPoints for these that you can find on YouTube if you want to watch those. I don't know if Luke has ever gotten the PowerPoints on there. Those are some projects I'm going to have him do when he has some time coming up here. There's a bunch of those. And if they're not on there, the PowerPoints, we'll just redo those and release them again. Maybe we'll get them ready and I'll release them during hunting season when I'm kind of busy in the fall. Hunting, and maybe we'll release a bunch of those then. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it sooner. But anyway, that gives you the idea. But this you have to understand, they only follow what they believe. What do they believe? Evolution. So what do? They kill their babies. They kill their own offspring. This is what they do. This is who they are. Now, let's see. Let's see if we can see pictures. Let's see. Let's see if we can see anybody, any of the liberals. Look at all the liberals. Biden urged them to remain peaceful, right? Hang on, let me Let me just shut this down. I want to see this. Hang on a second. I'll get you over there in a second. If it'll show this, I'm waiting to see the president's reaction to this as they push, you know, their agendas.
He promised that he would on every issue. Can he start now? The president of the United States, Joe Biden, on this day. Let's watch together.
Today, the Supreme Court of the United States expressly took away a constitutional right from the American people that it had already recognized. They didn't limit it. They simply took it away. That's never been done to a right so important to so many Americans. But they did it. It's a sad day for the court and for the country. 50 years ago, Roe v. Wade was decided and has been the law of the land since then. This landmark case protected women's right to choose, her right to make intensely personal decisions with her doctor, free from the interference of politics. It reaffirmed basic principles of equality, that women have the power to control their own destiny, and it reinforced a fundamental right of privacy, a right of each of us to choose how to live our lives. Now, with Roe gone, let's be very clear. The health and life of women in this nation are now at risk. As chairman and ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, as vice president and now as president of the United States, I've studied this case carefully. I've overseen more Supreme Court confirmations than anyone today, where this case was always discussed. I believe Roe v. Wade was the correct decision, as a matter of constitutional law, an application of the fundamental right to privacy and liberty in matters of family and personal autonomy. It was a decision on a complex matter that drew a careful balance between a woman's right to choose earlier in her pregnancy and the state's ability to regulate later in her pregnancy. A decision with broad national consensus that most Americans of faith and backgrounds found acceptable.
You're actually a big fat liar when it comes to that. You're lying. No one found that. No one found that that was that way. No one found that, right?
Been the law of the land for most of the lifetime of Americans today. And it was a constitutional principle upheld by justices appointed by Democrat and Republican presidents alike. Roe v. Wade was a 7-2 decision.
I just can't listen to him very long because he just. Anyway, I can't listen to that very long. It's just like dribble, but he just continues on. He just mumbles and he doesn't really speak firmly and clearly and all that stuff. Anyway, he's lying. There's no women's bodies at risk by this decision. There's no women's health at risk. You know what's at risk? A baby. You know what this decision didn't do? I want to be clear. This decision is going to allow other states that are pro-abortion to probably do late-term abortions, to do this decision is going to do probably worse in some ways and better in other ways for some states. But this is not the catch-all be-all of ending abortion. It's being sold as that, so everybody can, one side can be happy, the other side can be angry, they can all, but it isn't. It isn't that simple. It's probably a lot more complicated than anything else. But that's how they like government, very confusing. So you don't understand what's going on at all. Because there's ramifications in places like New York, in places like New York, in places like California and other places like that. There's going to be a lot of ramifications. We don't know how everything is going to play out with all these things. So, I mean, I'm not super excited. You know, when it comes to a lot of these things, when it comes to this position here. What should they have done? They should have said abortion is murder. And murder is illegal. Period. Case closed. That's what they should have done. Because that's what it is. It is murder. Right? So we'll see how it plays out and what money the federal government is allowed to give and how all this is going to work out. We'll see. But murder is illegal. It always has been illegal. You're not allowed to murder people. Whether they're little people or big people, you're not allowed to murder people. Plain and simple. So, unfortunately, though, that's not what the civil government did. Right? That's not what they did. That's not how they reacted to it. That all life is precious in the sight of God and that all life should be preserved. That isn't what they did. In my opinion, they waffled. And I think it's a smokescreen, I'll be honest with you. They're selling this like abortion is illegal in America now. That's not true. But that's how they're selling it. But they're making you think that it's like it's abolished. Because what we're for is the complete abolition of abortion. Completely. Complete abolition of abortion. Because it's murder. Complete. And it should be 100% abolished. While I'm thankful that the federal government isn't going to stop some states from enacting laws, they're also going to end up allowing other states to enact those laws. So there's more to the story here. There's more going on. And it's kind of a smokescreen that we're being given. But again, I can still rejoice in some things. I can still be happy and praise God that Texas and now Missouri and maybe Florida and I don't know, Iowa? I'm guessing Iowa. And some of the other states are going to be like, and Tennessee and some of those other states, they're going to be like, you know, nope, we have a 100% ban on abortion. You ain't getting one here. Praise the Lord. I thank God for any baby that's saved from that. Thank God. But listen to me, friend. And listen closely. The answer will never be the government. The answer is Christ. The government shall be upon his shoulders. The answer is Jesus. The answer is a changed heart. That's the answer. The answer is, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The answer is, you must be born again. You won't kill your baby if you have the Holy Ghost. You won't want to kill anybody if you have the Holy Ghost. You won't want to fornicate if you have the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't fornicate, then you won't have, in parentheses, then you won't have unwanted pregnancies. I'm putting that in parentheses. If you don't fornicate. If you follow the scriptures and you abstain from all appearance of evil, if you get saved by the grace of Almighty God, then you won't be a whore. And you won't be a whoremonger. And you'll observe the marriage bed. And you'll have children. And you'll raise those children. And you'll love those children. And you'll have natural affection. Jesus can save somebody and give them natural affection. Only he can do that. That's what has to happen. There's people that have gotten abortions that get saved and they love again, and they love people again, and they have babies afterwards if they can have a baby again. That's what has to happen. They need the gospel. People need to be saved. That's the answer. We'll do more than any politicians can do getting out there and preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's the gospel that changes men. It's the power of God unto salvation. Right? You get saved by the grace of God, you get married, and you have children. You don't use birth control and all those other methods, but you just trust the Lord and you have babies. And you actually have love in your heart because God has changed you and made you a new creature. And you're not the same as you used to be. But you have natural affection. And you want to raise children. Bible says, the children are a heritage of the Lord. Right? Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. By the way, you shouldn't get married if you don't want children. You shouldn't. Because children are the natural fruit of marriage. Now, if you can't have children, that's one thing. But if you don't want children, you shouldn't get married then. Right? You shouldn't. Because that's the point of marriage, is to raise a godly seed. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's why the sin of the sodomite is rebellion against God. Right? It's rebellion against God. Because you don't want to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God says children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Not to kill the fruit that God has given you, or not to want children. I remember somebody asked me when I was first married. They asked me, are you going to tell God how many children he's going to bless you with? I was like, what do you mean, brother? He said, are you going to use birth control and tell God how many children, how many blessings you're going to allow him to give you? I mean, nobody told me anything, man. I didn't even know that was a thing. And I was just saved. I was newly saved, newly married. So we use birth control for like the first, I don't know, 6 months maybe, I don't know, of our marriage. Thank God my wife wasn't on it very long. But I didn't know that. Man, when I was told that, I was like, wow. I never thought about that. Nobody ever preached that to me. Nobody ever told me anything like that. Nobody ever explained birth control to me. By the way, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'm going to show you something here. You can listen to this. Then you can get really mad at me. Maybe. I preached this back in 2015. Birth control and the Bible. Are we really against abortion? Lots of people listen to that one. Lots of pastors will preach against abortion, but they don't preach against birth control. This one right here, there's a whole lot of babies that have been born by the grace of God because the Lord led me to preach on this subject. Because people told me, man, that's the reason why we have babies. We learned that that wasn't biblical. And I'll tell you, listen to that one. Before you come real hard on these people that are having abortions, which we should, you just remember. Are you guilty of it? Are you guilty of telling God how many babies he can give you? How many blessings you want? Right? How many rewards you're going to have? How big your quiver is going to be? Do you control the quiver size or does God? It's in the hands of God to open and shut the womb. Somebody said, well, how are you going to survive? How are you going to make it? I mean, what are you going to do with all those children? I'm going to love them and I'm going to depend on God. And I'm going to believe God's going to take care of them. Just like he's taking care of me. And guess what? He's taking care of us. He'll do the same for you. Seven children later. Amen. Getting ready to celebrate our anniversary. 20 years. By the way, we're going to be taking off here. No broadcasts on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Wednesday night, I'll preach, though, at church. I'll be back at church. But we are leaving Monday or Sunday afternoon after I'm done with these PowerPoints, however long that takes. But Sunday afternoon, we'll be taking off. My wife and I and Gideon, our youngest one, he's going to come with us. He's still nursing, so he's not ready to be away from mama yet. But we're going to go celebrate 20-year anniversary. And hard to believe it's been 20 years, amen? Hard to believe. But we're gonna take off Sunday afternoon, and we will be gone a couple days and be back for church on Wednesday. So we're going to go to Wisconsin and eat some cheese in the Madison, Wisconsin area where we're going to go. So take off for a couple days and praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to that and thank God for all his goodness. Amen. And you pray for us this weekend as well. Man, tomorrow, pray for us. It's going to be nasty. We know the Holy Ghost can do wonders, though. God can save sinners, convict their hearts. God can hold them back. Right? All that good stuff. God is able, amen, do all those things. So you pray for us about that, for sure. Amen. Let's see. We'll play a song here and give you all a chance to say hi.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And
we'll never
Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is that rock in a weary land.
Weary land.
A shelter in the time of storm. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all I need for tomorrow
and tomorrow
my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do,
all I have to do
is follow.
Amen. Good song. And what a truth. Amen. All right, you pray for us as we get out there and preach tomorrow, and we got many adversaries for sure. And you just pray for us that the Lord would continue to bless us and guide our steps. We'll be live sometime tomorrow out there. I don't know what time. Will you go out and preach in front of the abortion clinic in Owatonna this weekend? Didn't know there was an abortion clinic in Owatonna, to be honest with you. Didn't know there was one, but I will be preaching over in at the Twin Cities Pride. That's where we'll be, Twin Cities Pride. So anyway, we will be up there preaching and bringing the gospel to those folks up there. So, and, you know, telling them the truth that they need to hear. So that's important that we do that. Now, pray for us. Be sure to do that. Be sure to pray for us that the Lord would continue to Oh, funny. Yeah, I definitely have some enemies, man. They're already coming on trying to ghost me online, but that's okay. That's quite all right. You do what you think you have to do, and I'll continue to do what God's called me to do, and we'll be just fine, I assure you of that. So pray for us. Also, if you want to support our ministry, you can support us by PayPal if you'd like to. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or at pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or you could mail us something if you'd like to here. Or there's people that do Apple Pay. There's people that do a number of different things, ways to give. And you can contact us if you'd like to for that. You know, when I'm over the target, when I'm over the target, I know it. Boy, do I know it. And I think it's hilarious because what God shows me, God always shows me, you know what, preacher, when something's going on, when something's going on, God reveals that to me and he shows me, you know, you got an enemy. Don't forget, preacher, you got enemies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, you pray for us and I'll appreciate it. We'll be out there. We'll be out there live and we'll be out there preaching and warning people to flee from the wrath to come. And they need it. They need the truth. And God will give it to them. Amen. And we'll be faithful by the grace of God to give them the truth of the gospel. Because there are many, many people out there that are lost and dead in sins, and nobody's telling them the truth. Nobody's telling them that except they repent, they shall all likewise perish. Nobody's telling them that they're going to die and go to hell without the Savior. No one's warning them in their sin. You know, even Lot tried to intercede for Sodom, or not Lot, but Abraham tried to intercede for Sodom. He tried. So, and we ought to do the same. We ought to intercede for Sodom. All right, everybody. God bless you all. Take care. We'll see you. I'll be preaching on Sunday. Also, two messages on Sunday, two PowerPoints on Sunday. Pray for Brother Aaron as he applied for another job. God bless you all. Take care. And we'll be back, Lord willing.